This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, welcome back to our Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nadwi. Apologies, we're a few minutes late, but let's get started inshallah. Just quickly, Sheikh Akram started his new short course just this Sunday that passed, which is his 3-day course on the sciences of hadith called the Muqaddim of Ibn Salah. So anyone who's interested, head on to our Facebook, our Instagram, Twitter, find out more about the course if you're interested in the sciences of hadith. Or you can wait until the end of this session, inshallah, and I'll give you more information. Without any further ado, let's go, inshallah, and let's start with our, as usual, our first student of the day, Tapachi Tabassum. Her question is, how would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam deal with different types of people? We know people have different negative traits. Was it not too much of a burden for him to behave nicely with everyone, enduring their negative sides?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, I know this question actually is a very important question, and it teaches us a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like any prophets, they are trained, you know, by nature they are, you know, so nice, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to be extra nice and patient. And not only patient, Quran says Fasbir sabran jamila, a patience which actually is a beautiful patience, which you're never annoyed, you never say something wrong. Like Yusuf alayhi salam, it all happened, his brothers came, but he did not complain, did not ask the king to arrest them and things like, oh, did not tell his story to the kings, nothing, you know, all nice all the time until the story finishes. So same the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, you know, people come, sometimes people are rough, somebody pulled the cloak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and it left a mark on his neck, on his body, but still he talked to him nicely. So all the time he makes effort to be as nice as possible, and you know, not only showing it is from his heart, he never takes revenge, except if it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like somebody commits a sin against Allah, or somebody wrongs someone else, but whenever it is to him, you know, it always nice. The Aisha Allah ta'ala said the Prophet never took revenge for himself. It never happened that he did, somebody harmed him and he wanted to take a revenge. So this is a great quality, and people actually don't learn these days to follow that. Most people, what they learn really is how to force people to respect them. That is not the way Quran teaches. Quranic way is force yourself how to adjust with all the conditions. That is easier, that is you. Then you don't complain. People say people don't behave properly, but you should learn how to deal with the people who don't behave properly. Sometimes people say my relatives are not very good people. Still, you need to learn how to be nice with them. People say my parents are not good. Yeah, but still you can be nice with them. It is actually, you need to learn, force yourself, be humble. So that what people need to learn from the life of the Prophet. So the question, really, I like this question, because I want everybody that, you know, don't make effort to change people around you. Rather than make effort to change yourself, a kind of way of Allah. When Allah says, you know, change yourself, be soft, that's much, much better. It makes you important and nearer to Allah, and it makes everybody to learn from you. When you are soft, nice, people love to be next to you. They will learn from you. So this is the basic, the simple way, easy summary of the matter is, don't make effort to change the people. Rather than change yourself and change nicely, so nobody can notice that you are forcing yourself. You know, it should be so nice that people love that. People love to be with you.
Okay, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. And Sayyid Tapashi for the question. Let's move on to our next question from Waqas. Please, can you explain the hadith in Bukhari that if someone eats dates, they won't be affected by magic or poison? How can this protection come?
You know, on this matter, this hadith, I have written, article in English, I made a very good explanation, and many people, they love this explanation because that, convince them and actually that teaches them how to understand the hadith. The best thing is because if I go summarize, it will take time. But already I have written, so I'll forward to iman to you, and then you can give to the people so they can read it, inshallah. Because already there is something written.
Yes, definitely, inshallah. And we've kind of discussed this in a previous Q&A. If you go onto our YouTube channel, we have, if I just have a look, we do have, it's named something like the prophetic foods and whether they are miracles or not, something along those lines. If you go onto our recent videos, let's go on to our next question from Moinuddin. If someone has lost their will and desire to seek knowledge or study, is this a sign of loss of iman or a hardened heart? What are some remedies for this?
The thing is that, people have different conditions and different circumstances why they don't want to learn. Sometimes it could be possible when they have family, they have to look after them. So they have to adjust, I don't know what his specific condition is, but if somebody has lost the, desire for no reason, so that really is a problem. And people like that, they should be encouraged. The remedy for that is, they come in the companionship of the good people, they read the biographies of the people who are before them, how keen they have been in knowledge. And they should realize, really, the time passes very quickly. One day they will regret. A few years will pass, and those who are with them, they will achieve something. In the sense, so we should actually encourage people, how to force them to study and to learn. I have written a few articles on this matter as well. If the articles are organized somewhere nicely, maybe people can read them. There are some articles which help people, how to motivate them. Actually, there is an article with this title, How to Motivate for the Study. So, you can read that, inshallah.
Definitely. On our website, assalam.ac.uk, we do have most of your articles on there. If you head on to the top right of the screen. But yes, and you've also on your Facebook page, on Sheikh Akram's Telegram page, he recently shares his articles and reminders. So you can have a look there, inshallah. Let's move on to our question from Osama. What does the Quran mean when it says that it is a detailed explanation of all things?
Thing is that when people say that, I discuss all the things, it always means, in a context. It don't then mean everything in the world. So, for example, if I write a book, on a medicine, and then I say, in this I have discussed everything, meaning what is related to the medicine, what people need to know about. If I'm writing a book about driving, so, and I say I explain everything in it, it means everything related to the driving. Or same about food, any whatever topic is. Quran has got a topic, and that is Hudan Linnas. It is the guidance for the people. So for that purpose, it is a very clear book. And sometimes this word comes, detailed explanation comes after Quran has mentioned something briefly, and then Quran makes more detailed. Then Quran says we have made everything very clear. So the reason Quran does this, because when you learn something shorter, so you focus, you make effort to know, but some details are missing. So you want to know more. Then more details come, so you learn them properly. So sometimes Quran does there's some revelation which are very shorter. Then after a while comes a more detailed one, so people can know more and more. But anyway, in the Quran, then it's not the Quran that got everything. The Quran does not have everything in the world. Quran has everything related to its subject matter. Actually, if Quran has everything, then it will not be a good book. Good book always must be focused. The people know what they're looking for. The Quran will not have actually medical science or physics and this and no, Quran not actually for that purpose, that people can learn for themselves. Quran is the guidance how to make people to be to be qualified to enter to paradise, how they become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they worship him, how they become good human being. This is the topic that Quran discusses.
Okay, JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. We have a question from Fariha. She's used quite a few, I'm not sure if some of it's Urdu or Arabic, but I myself, I'm not sure of some of them. But let's go ahead and Sheikh, you can see the question on the screen. Is it permissible to recite the Quran and intend the thawab to be transferred to the marhum as part of the Isali thawab? I'm not sure if that's Urdu or Arabic.
You know what she means is that people who have died, marhum means the people who have already died. So can you read the Quran and make intention that your reward goes to those people? So what we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when people die, what can be beneficial for them is three things. Any knowledge that they have left. So as long as people keep learning, they will get reward for that. Or some people have left, children who are good and they make dua for them, that reaches them. Or somebody has done sadaqa jariya, built a madrasa or masjid, or maybe made a well of some water supply somewhere, and the people drink the water, the reward keeps going. So from that, the ulama have said that whenever you spend money or sadaqah or charity for someone who died, the reward can be transferred to them. They can get the reward. As you can pay people's debt, similarly you can do sadaqah on their behalf. Money can be transferred. And you can make dua for the people. But physical ibadah, like you do prayer, fasting, or you read the Quran, so you can't transfer your reward for them. But what you can do is after reading the Quran, you can make dua for them. Because dua after the Quran or after every good deeds is more accepted. So simple matter is, anything that you can use to pay the other people's debt, that you also can do to transfer the reward to other people. Means money thing. Money thing is something that can be transferred. But you can't eat on other people's behalf. The physical thing, body thing you cannot do on people's behalf. That is yours. So when you read the Quran, you get the reward. When you pray, you get the reward. But you can, after that, you can make dua. Because dua, it can be done for anybody.
Okay, let's go on to Sinoba's question. How can we understand the concept of doing our best? Does it mean that one should overburden him or herself to the level of being exhausted?
No, actually not exhausted. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to his house, and there was a woman sitting next to Aisha radhiyallahu anha. It is hadith in Bukhari. Excuse me. So the Prophet asked Aisha radhiyallahu anha, who is this lady? So Aisha radhiyallahu anha praised her that she is so pious and she prays all the night and day and so much. So the Prophet said, no, stop. Don't do so much. Alaykum bima tutiqoon. You should do only what you can do for longer. You can sustain it. So Aisha said, the Prophet said, love those deeds which people can do easily for the lifetime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not become tired. He wants more and more. But the thing is, he does not like that people do and then they discontinue. So his way is, do little bit, but do properly. You have family, you have children, you have other jobs and all those things. So you have to manage all that. And prayer, so if you have little extra time, do some nafl prayer, but not too many. Otherwise, you cannot do, you will do few days, but you can't sustain it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to make you tired. He wants, best thing is, don't commit sins. So that does not make anybody tiring anyway. Not committing sin is easiest, it does not affect you anyway. Don't drink, don't lie, don't backbite, don't hurt anybody. Doesn't make anybody exhausted. So the first thing is, don't harm anybody, don't hurt anybody, don't commit a sin. This thing does not take anything from you. Not committing a sin is not nothing. Then after that, among good deeds, do a little bit, but do nicely. Don't be tired. But most important thing is, don't commit a sin. And among the sins, the most important thing is don't hurt anybody, don't harm anybody, don't backbite, don't lie. Yeah.
Okay, inshallah. Let's take Fatiha's question. What is the right understanding of Farighan in the verse Wasbahu Fu'adu Umi Musa Farighan from Surah Al-Qasas? It was after she followed what was inspired to her, and after a while, her baby caught by the full message isn't showing up. Her baby was caught by the palace of Fir'aun. Can we say that a good instinct will follow the dua and tawakkul we do to Allah?
You know, thing is, people need to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your best, and then what you cannot do, leave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even what you can do, really, don't trust in your actions. Musa alayhi salam's mother, like any other mother, and she's attached to her son, in Musa alayhi salam. So, to put him in a box and then, you know, throw in the sea, not easy. You know, nobody will do this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to her that I'm going to return back your son to you. Inna radduhu ilayka. So that, you know, made her heart content. So that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do tawakkul, you know, before tawakkul, he also reveals to you that what he's going to do. And for us, we're never going to have new revelation, but whatever Musa's mother has got, we also have got in the Quran. So Quran always promises that when you listen to Allah, obey him, he will help you. He will do everything for you. So there's no need for people to have direct revelation after the Quran. You know, anything that you need for tawakkul, it's already there, but you need to read the Quran properly. And truth of the matter really is everything happens from Allah. Even the things, you know, even if your son is with you, still, you know, if he's safe and everything nice, it's because of Allah. There could be possible that women have their children with them and they also some problem, and then they regret all their life. So you don't know really. So tawakkul should be all the time. Not that I have my son, so I'm happy. No, even when you have really, still something can happen. It's Allah who protects even you really. You can't protect yourself. Tawakkul does not mean that people don't have the means. You know, tawakkul means you have means, but you don't trust in the means, you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam, the mother, she was inspired. In liberation came, maybe angel, and he told her, and she was content. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us that the same way, believers, they always should trust in Allah's command and revelation. You know, they should not be worried, too much worried.
Okay, inshallah, let's take the next question. What is the Quran's way of making the heart salim? As it seems to me that at the end of the day, the heart which is pure and undamaged is what ultimately matters.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's why we are created. We are created. So when we die, our hearts are pure and clean. How it becomes pure and clean? Allah will create for you those conditions in which he tests you. Is your heart clean or not? So for example, you will find that your friend have something you don't have. So Allah wants to test you, are you jealous or not? If you're jealous, then your heart is not salim. Sometimes you think, if I lie, then you know I'll be successful. Now Allah is testing, are you going to lie or not? If you lie, then you are not, your heart is not salim. But if you don't lie, it is salim. So all the time, tests keep coming until you become pure and clean. So all the occasions, and sometimes you fail, then Allah provides for you another opportunity, a third opportunity all the time. So people need to die when they are pure from lying, backbiting, hurting, jealousy, hatred, shirk, kufr, nifaq, hypocrisy, all those things. Their heart is pure and clean. When they are like that, then they should die. So your concern should be in the life that whenever a new condition comes, it is test for me. And how I'm going to pass the test? So when you pass every test, you will see really your heart will become salim and pure. But when people react and they don't think and they just become angry, they backbite, they do all those things and they never change themselves, so heart is not salim. You know, the right people are those who make effort to change themselves.
Okay, before we move on to the next question, just a quick reminder, if you can just ask your question once and not send it multiple times, only because it then becomes quite hard to see all the other questions and do them in order. Sometimes, depending on whether you're watching from Facebook or YouTube, on our streaming platform, it does come in order. So we are trying to go in order, inshallah. SubhanAllah, we have a lot of questions today. So let's see what we can do to get through them. Okay, let's take Brother Omar's question. How can we strengthen the fitrah in our children so that they can avoid sin themselves better? Besides reading Quran daily with them, are there any other approaches?
The person, somebody asked this question about being Salim, pure from all those things, heart. Similarly, for example, when you people, ask question and then you lose your patience and keep reminding, it is sign of that, you are not learning. The patience is the most important to learn. There are lots of the loves that, and not only patience, sabrun jameel. You do patience and then you don't, you are not annoyed. Don't nobody can see that you mind it. So when your sabr becomes like that, people even cannot feel that you mind that in sabr jameel. To always learn. I've seen really people ask question, the question not answered, they become angry or they become upset. So they fail. It could be possible the teacher does not answer for a reason, or maybe not answer is good for, maybe just test from Allah. Maybe the teacher did not realize that it is important question. Allah want to test you. So always understand every single condition test for you. Okay, now coming to this question that how we can make our fitrah of the people stronger. That's a very good question, really. Because when a people are born, they have fitrah. But if they understand the fitrah properly, then it becomes stronger, stronger and stronger. If they don't, they can actually crush the fitrah and they become, they don't, they're not on the fitrah. But how do you do this, really? You don't need to overburden children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a mechanism. Their fitrah will be stronger themselves. What you need to do is don't do anything which can harm the fitrah. That what you to save the children from wrong influences. They will grow themselves like Ibrahim. If wrong influences are not there, they will be good. So many parents, what they do, they're busy and they give to their children mobile phones or they put on a TV program or something like that. And then the children don't cry, so they are happy doing their gossip, whatever they like. So this is ruining the fitrah, because fitrah is not to look at the screen or to do things. Fitrah can make the children to play, proper outdoor game and sport, and you go with them. That was the physical games that makes their mind stronger. They look the nature, take them to mountains, take them to green things. They learn from the nature. They see the birds, they see. All the natural things, that how fitrah becomes stronger. But when people all the time live with unnatural things, human-made things are always imperfect. Not only imperfect, very often harmful, because they have very short benefits. They don't have long benefits. So they destroy the people. So that's what you need to do. Really, you don't need to teach too many things, but you need to save them from many things. That main thing, really. All the things that are harmful in the house, if people don't have TV, that will be very, very helpful. Okay, you also need, not only children, people need to save themselves. TV, one of the most harmful things. Mobile phones, it's necessary these days, but it's still, so many programs, so many things looking, ruining the people. Especially children, they don't need mobile phone. So, be aware, mobile phone is one of the worst things you can imagine, really. It is like drinking. Smoking, all the time. Worse than that, it destroys the people. The fitrah will be destroyed. People will have wrong desire developing them. So you need to, similarly, you need to develop in them how to control the desire. So when they are hungry, tell them that, we're not going to die. So you learn how to control the hunger. Don't become angry and control the anger. So these things you need to teach them. It's not that whenever they're hungry, they just give them food. It's not right. Life not right. Teach them how to wait. They have to wait. Similarly, control the anger. So many things, but most important thing is to save them from harmful things. Yourself and them both.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Let's move on to a question from John. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I understand for an act, intention is necessary, for example, for salah. But how does one attain ikhlas in it? or for any other act. For surely when we perform salah, it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Can you expand on how one attains ikhlas, please?
Ikhlas means you have intention to please Allah alone. So like, you know, when you go for the prayer, intention should not be that people call me pious and they feel impressed by me. Intention should be I do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, similarly, when you obey your mom, your intention should be that Allah's command is that I obey my mother, my parent, look after them. So I want to make my Lord happy, be nice to the people. Even my relatives, they are not very good to me, but my Lord has commanded, so I want to be nice to them, to obey my Lord. This is ikhlas. So you are not doing to satisfy yourself. You are doing to satisfy, to make Allah happy. Ikhlas simply means don't make effort to please people. Don't make effort to please yourself. Only make effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if the people are happy, that's fine. You know, it is not your intention. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always makes pious people more popular and more famous. But your intention should be that I do things. Sometimes you have two choices. One makes your parent happy and one makes Allah happy. Choose the one which makes Allah happy. But don't upset your family. So in every single matter, choose what makes Allah happy and do as nice as possible.
Okay, let's go on to Muhammad's question. My question is about the scholars of hadith from the Indian subcontinent. How come the famous book Fazail Amal contains so many weak and fabricated narrations when we know the author is such a great scholar of hadith? Can you please explain?
You know, this thing happens a lot, really. Sometimes people don't pay attention. Sometimes people think, you know, their intention is very good. They want to make people pious. So even if they don't check hadith, but it can make people pious. So that's how people have, you know, so we have to make dua for them, that, you know, people who would, but we should not follow people in the mistakes. So, you know, we should make a dua for them. Allah, may Allah forgive them, but not follow. You know, the people in the past, they were very, very strict about sound hadith. So it is, you know, and actually the truth of the matter really is many of these fadail, you don't need them. Already in the Quran, very sound, all the amal, the prayer, fasting, zakat, hajj, their rewards are mentioned in the Quran. And sound hadith, you don't need any weak or fabricated hadith. So people, we have to understand this thing. So how people do, don't worry about that. People always, like, you know, all the preachers, since the beginning, people have been criticizing that preachers always, you know, popularize wrong hadith, fabricated hadith. Until now, they do the same thing. Listen, whenever I listen to a preacher, I always find they refer to the fabricated hadith, in very weak hadith. I don't understand why they don't go to the Quran. Quran is more powerful, sound, and it has much more than that. Because Quran needs to understand that they want to do things which are not understanding. You need to just ask Allah to forgive those people. Don't worry about them, but worry about yourself, that, you know, avoid those books and avoid those knowledge. In the Fadail, the best thing is Riyadus Salihin, written by Imam Nawawi. That's enough. Read that. There are a few weak hadith, but not too weak. You can rely on that, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Okay, let's have a look. We've got a lot of questions, so I'm trying to pick ones that haven't been answered before. Let's have a look, inshallah. Okay, let's have a question from our ASI student, Sisarum. What is the best thing to recite whilst performing tawaf?
You know, when you're doing tawaf, you can do all the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but focus that you are in the presence of Allah. Allah is looking at you. So your heart, mind, it should look at the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remind that glory, you can read this tasbih, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Because they've got all the greatness of Allah's glorification. So you can read them. Sometimes you can read Salat and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, whatever you remember. And also you can ask Allah to forgive you. So read Astaghfirullah. But most time in Tawaf, you know, praise Allah. Thank Him. So Subhanallah is the best one. Say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la akbar. And it should be your heart that, you know, greatness of Allah. And Allah has given you tawfiq to be there. I make a good intention that from now on I'm going to live a very pious life. So, but you know, in the heart, don't have anything wrong that time when you're doing tawaf. That main thing, keep in mind.
Okay, let's go to our question from Habibur Rahman. And this links to a question that we had last week, actually. So his question is there qada of sunnah mu'akkadah? For example, the full sunnah of dhuhr or two sunnah of fajr, should it be prayed later if I missed it before fard? So last week we had the question of whether one was sinful if they missed it. So this is a good follow-up, inshallah.
Yeah, you know, you don't need to do qada of the sunnah, but sometimes it's good to do, because if you do, then next time you will not be so lazy to miss them. The sunnah of the zuhr you can do anytime before asr. Sunnah of the fajr, you can't do after fajr prayer, because after fajr prayer until sunrise, you can't do any prayer. So wait until sun has risen, then you can do qada of the two rak'ah sunnah until midday. Then after midday, it is no more sunnah. So try to do qada before that, inshallah. And for the zuhr sunnah, you can do qada before asr. Because after asr prayer, any nafl is makruh. So you can't do that time. You can do qada for the fard, but not qada for the sunnah. But it is good, really, sometimes you do qada. So then you can remind yourself, it is important. I should not miss so easily.
Okay, inshallah, let's take another question from Muhammad. Our imam leads the prayer very fast. It is even difficult to say the tasbih in ruku and sujood two times. Also, I cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha silently, completely in the third and fourth rak'ah. And then he continues his question saying, can I offer the prayer alone rather than in congregation? Just quickly, Sheikh, apologies. For some reason, I haven't been looking at the time. So this will have to be our last question. Apologies. I have gone over for a few minutes.
You know, when the imam is very fast, still you don't need to differ from the imam. But people should advise the imam. But if you are a little bit late from the imam, doesn't hurt really. You know, if you are doing ruku and you could not do complete your tasbih, and it is a little late, doesn't matter. But tasbih is not important anyway. In sajda and ruku, tasbih is not for the wajib, the sunnah. Even if you do tasbih once, it's fine. If you say subhanallah once, subhanallah al-azim once, that's fine. But don't differ from the imam. If people are the committee and masjid, they change the imam up to them. Or they advise the imam. But you don't make any problem, because you know we already have so many problems in the community. So we don't want, you know, this tension between the imam and the followers. Avoid that, but adjust yourself around the imam.
Okay, we will end it there, inshallah. And we will be back next week, Thursday, 6 p.m. GMT. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for your time and everyone else for joining us. I was set on getting all the questions answered that I had no idea at the time. But inshallah, please do keep your question for next week. And if anyone is interested in the course that I mentioned earlier at the beginning, the Muqaddimah of Ibn al-Salah course, please head on to our website, slm.ac.uk, which is on the screen. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I recommend you following us on Instagram. It's SLM Institute. ALSALAM Institute, inshallah, and you can keep up with any new things that we're doing, and we will leave it at that, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.